There's a request for Fatiha for a list of mu'mineen, for them in particular, and for all mu'mineen and mu'minat, al-Fatiha. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا حضرت امیر علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام نہج البلاغہ میں فرماتے ہیں کہ قبر جو ہے ہر روز کہتی ہے کہ انا بیت الغربہ انا بیت الوحشہ انا بیت الدود, یہ ہر روز کی پکار ہے جو کہ قبر سے آتی ہے. خیر, ہم سب جو ہیں اسی سفر آخرت کی طرف بڑھ رہے ہیں, اور یہ سب کچھ درس پہلے میرے اپنے لیے ہے. فرماتے ہیں کہ انا بیت الغربہ, میں اس غربت کا گھر ہوں جہاں پر انسان تنہا ہوگا. میں اس وحشت کا گھر ہوں, اور میں اس انا بیت الوحشہ و انا بیت الدود, میں ان کیڑوں کا گھر ہوں. قبر جو ہے اس سفر آخرت میں سب سے پہلا اسٹیشن ہے, سب سے پہلی منزل جہاں پر ہر ایک کو پہنچنا ہے. اور جو دستور ہمیں دیا گیا ہے کہ جب تشییع جنازہ ہو رہی ہوتی ہے تو جنازے کو جو ہے تین مرتبہ سٹاپ کیا جائے, رکھا جائے زمین پر, اور تیسری مرتبہ جا کر جو ہے قبر کے اندر اتارا جائے. اور ہر بار جب آپ تابوت کو, جنازے کو زمین پر رکھیں گے, دعا کریں اس مرحوم کے لیے, اس کی مغفرت کے لیے. اس کے ساتھ ساتھ یہ بھی ہے کہ وہ جو مرحوم ہے وہ مانوس ہو جائے اس قبر کے ساتھ, ایک دم سے اسے شوق نہ ہو جائے کہ کہاں پر لا کے ڈال دیا. اور پھر مرحوم مجلسی فرماتے ہیں کہ جب انسان کی روح قبض ہوتی ہے اس کی, ایسا نہیں کہ اس کا ٹوٹل جو ہے کنیکشن اس دنیا سے کٹ جاتا ہے, ابھی بھی کنیکشن اس کا اس دنیا سے باقی رہتا ہے, اور وہ دیکھ رہی ہوتی ہے روح کہ کیا کچھ ہو رہا ہے اس کے ساتھ, کس طرح اسے غسل دیا جا رہا ہے, کفن پھر اسی طرح جو ہے, کس طرح اس کے افراد جو جن کو چھوڑ کر جا رہا ہے اس دنیا میں, وہ اس کے ساتھ کس طرح کا رفتار کر رہے ہیں. اور بہرحال قبر جو ہے بہت ہی بھیانک, بہت ہی وحشتناک, جس طرح حضرت امیر فرماتے ہیں یہاں پر کہ بیت الغربہ, بیت الوحشہ, بیت الدود, یہ تمام صفات جو ہے قبر کے لیے بیان کیے گئے ہیں. لیکن اس کے ساتھ ساتھ یہ بھی ہے کہ فرماتے ہیں کہ یہ قبر جو ہے یا تو حفرۃ من حفر النیران او روضۃ من ریاض الجنہ, کہ انسان اسی جنت کو یا بہشت کا ایک, جنت کا ایک ٹکڑا بنا سکتا ہے, اور اگر چاہے تو جہنم کی بھڑکتی ہوئی آگ کا ایک حصہ اس کو بھی بنا سکتا ہے. تو یہ ہمارے اوپر ہے کہ ہم اس کو کس طرح آباد کرتے ہیں, اس قبر کو, آیا روضۃ من ریاض الجنہ یا حفرۃ من حفر النیران. دعا ہے امام سجاد علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام سے, صحیفہ سجادیہ میں ظاہراً تیسری یا ساتویں دعا ہے. وہاں پر امام تمام ملائکت اللہ پر جو ہے صلوات بھیجتے ہیں اور پہنچتے ہیں اس جملے پر. فرماتے ہیں کہ وَالسَّفَرَةِ الْكِرَامِ الْبَرَرَةِ وَالْحَفَظَةِ الْكِرَامِ الْكَاتِبِينَ وَمَلَكِ الْمَوْتِ وَأَعْوَانِهِ وَمُنْكَرٍ وَنَكِيرٍ وَرُومَانَ فَتَّانِ الْقُبُورِ. صلوات بھیجتے ہیں ملائکہ پر، ملک الموت پر، اور جو دوسرے جو ملائکہ ہیں جن کو مختلف کام خداوند متعال نے سونپے ہیں. پھر پہنچتے ہیں اس جملے پر کہ ورومان فتان القبور. تو یہ بھی ایک ملک ہیں، اور ان کا کام کیا ہے کہ جب جو بھی مرحوم قبر میں لٹایا جاتا ہے اور جب اس کے عزیز و اقارب اس کو دفنا کر چلے جاتے ہیں، جب جا کے یہ فرشتہ وہاں پر قبر میں آتا ہے، رومان نام ہے اس کا، یا رومان فتان کے نام سے، یا رومان فتان القبور، جس طرح امام نے یہاں پر فرمایا ہے. کام کیا ہے اس فرشتے کا؟ کام جو ہے اس کا، خود رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم محمد وآل محمد سے روایت منقول ہے کہ عبداللہ بن سلام کہتے ہیں کہ میں نے پوچھا رسول سے کہ یہ فتان ان کا کام کیا ہے اس ملک کا. جواب میں فرماتے ہیں کہ جب قبر میں مردے کو لٹایا جاتا ہے اور جب کوئی نہیں ہوتا ان کے عزیز و اقارب میں سے وہاں پر، جب رومان یہ فرشتہ ہے آتا ہے وہاں پر، گویا اس مردے کو عالم برزخ میں چیک کرنے کے لیے، چیک ان کے لیے، اور پھر وہاں پر وہ رپورٹ لینے کے بعد وہ رپورٹ جاتی ہے منکر اور نکیر کے پاس، اور اس پرفارمنس رپورٹ کو دیکھنے کے بعد منکر اور نکیر جو ہیں یا اچھی شکل میں یا بھیانک شکل میں جا ظاہر ہوں گے اس مردے کے پاس. تو کام اس کا جو ہے چیک ان کرنا ہوتا ہے. تو چیک ان کس طرح ہوتی ہے؟ فرماتے ہیں رسول اللہ کہ یہ فرشتہ آتا ہے اور جو ہے اس کی بات پوچھتا ہے کہ اپنے کہتا ہے اس سے کہ تمام اعمال اپنے جو ہے لکھو. تو یہ کہتا ہے کہ میں کس طرح لکھوں، یاد نہیں ہے مجھے اعمال، 70 سال 80 سال کی عمر تھی. پھر جو ہے ان کا جو ہے وہ جو وپ ہوتی ہے، جو ہنٹر ہوتا ہے، وہ جب اٹھتا ہے تو کہتا ہے کہ نہیں مجھے یاد آ گیا، اب میں لکھوں کس طرح، نہ میرے پاس پین ہے نہ تو کاغذ. فرماتے ہیں کہ وہ فرشتہ اس مرحوم سے کہے گا کہ اپنی انگلی کو بعنوان پین قلم، کفن کو بعنوان کاغذ، اپنے تمام اعمال اس کے اوپر لکھو. اور پھر جب یہ اپنے اعمال لکھنا شروع کرتا ہے، کہتا ہے کہ میں جو اچھے اعمال میں نے کیے ہیں ان کو میں جلدی جلدی لکھ دوں، اور جو ہی لکھا تو رک گیا وہاں پر، دوبارہ اس نے کہا کہ اور لکھو. تو وہاں پر جو اس کے برے اعمال تھے، جو گناہ تھے، ان کو لکھنے سے یہ شرماتا ہے. تو وہاں پر وہ فرشتہ کہتا ہے کہ اب شرما رہے ہو، جب خدا نے کہا تھا نہ کرنے کے لیے، اس وقت تو اطاعت نہیں کی، اس وقت تو گناہ پہ گناہ کرتے گئے اور اس وقت شرم نہیں آئی، اب شرما رہے ہو. اور جو ہی دوبارہ وہاں پر وہ مارنے کے لیے بڑھتے ہیں رومان، تو دوبارہ یہ لکھنا شروع کرتا ہے مرحوم. جب لکھ چکا ہوتا ہے اس وقت کہتا ہے کہ اسے جو ہے سیل کرو. کہتا ہے میں سیل کس طرح کروں، سیل تو نہیں ہے. کہا تمہارا تھوک جو ہے وہی تمہاری انک ہوگی، سیاہی ہوگی، اور اسی کفن کے اوپر اپنی انگلی سے جو ہے سیل کر دو، سائن کر دو. اور اس کے بارے میں قرآن فرماتا ہے کہ کل انسان الزمناہ طائرہ فی عنقہ. اور جب یہ ٹیبلٹ، جب یہ رپورٹ اس نے خود اپنے ہاتھ سے سائن کر دی، تو یہ اس کی گردن میں ٹانگ دی جاتی ہے قیامت کے دن تک. اب یہ جو گردن بند یا یہ جو ٹیبلٹ انسان کے گلے میں ٹانگی جاتی ہے، کبھی کبھار یہ بھاری اور وزنی ہوتی ہے اور پھر عاقبت کیا ہوتی نہیں معلوم، اور کبھی کبھار نہیں، بالکل ایک آرنمنٹ کی طرح، جس طرح چمکتا ہے گلے کے اندر، جن کے اعمال اچھے ہیں ان کے لیے جو ہے اس طرح ہوگا. پھر اس کی بات فرماتا ہے کہ اقرا کتاب کیا کفا بنفسک اليوم علیک حسیبا. پھر اس کے بعد جو ہے منکر اور نکیر آتے ہیں قبر میں کہ دیکھتے ہیں کہ اگر پرفارمنس اس کا اچھا رہا ہے تو اچھی صورت میں، اور اگر برا رہا ہے علیاذ باللہ تو بری صورت میں. برا بن عازب رسول اللہ کے صحابیوں میں سے، وہ کہتے ہیں کہ ایک دفعہ ہم لوگ جو ہے ایک اجتماع تھا وہاں پر مدینے میں، اور دیکھا رسول اللہ نے سوال کیا کہ یہ اجتماع کس چیز کا ہے. کہتے ہیں کہ لوگ جو ہیں وہاں پر قبر کھود رہے ہیں. رسول اللہ دوڑتے ہوئے گئے وہاں پر اور براء بن عازب کہتے ہیں کہ میں نے صرف دیکھنا چاہتا تھا کہ رسول اللہ کی کا عمل اس طرح یہاں پر کس طرح کا ہے، اس کی سیرت کیا ہے. کہتے ہیں کہ قبر کے ایک طرف رسول اللہ بیٹھ گئے، میں ان کے سامنے بیٹھا اور بیٹھ کر بہت روئے، اور پھر ہم سب سے خطاب کیا اور کہنے لگے، فرمانے لگے کہ اخوانی لمثل هذا فاعدوا، بھائیو اس دن کے لیے، اس جگہ کے لیے اپنے آپ کو جو ہے آمادہ اور تیار کرو. اب یہ قبر جو ہے، اور پھر یہ سفر آخرت پہلی منزل جو کہ قبر کی ہے، یہاں پر قطب راوندی جو ہیں حضرت عیسیٰ سے نقل کرتے ہیں کہ حضرت عیسیٰ نے اپنی والدہ حضرت مریم علیہ السلام کو، جو کہ جن کا انتقال ہو چکا تھا عالم برزخ میں، پکارا، جواب میں جواب ان کا ملا حضرت مریم کا، کہنے لگے کہ آپ اس دنیا میں دوبارہ لوٹنا چاہتی ہیں؟ حضرت مریم فرماتی ہیں کہ ہاں، تاکہ گرم دنوں میں میں روزے رکھوں اور یہ ٹھنڈی اور طویل جو راتیں ہیں اس میں میں عبادت کر سکوں. لیکن بیٹے عیسیٰ، اس کو یاد رکھو کہ سفر آخرت جو ہے بہت ہی خطرناک ہے، بہت ہی بھیانک ہے. مرحوم ملا فتح علی سلطان آبادی، ہمارے بہت ہی بزرگ علماء میں ان کا شمار ہوتا ہے، یہ کہتے ہیں کہ میری عادت تھی کہ ہر روز میں جب بھی کوئی جنازہ جس بھی مومن کا آتا تھا، جانتا تھا یا نہیں جانتا تھا، اپنے عزیز و اقارب میں سے یا دوستوں میں سے جو بھی تھا، جن کو میں جانتا بھی نہیں تھا، ان کی طرف سے ایک نماز وحشت پڑھا کرتا تھا. پھر کہتے ہیں کہ کچھ دن کے بعد میرے ایک دوست آئے، آ کے کہنے لگے کہ خواب میں میں نے ہمارے ایک مرحوم کو دیکھا جن کا جو ہے دو تین دن پہلے انتقال ہوا تھا، اور آ کے جب میں نے ان سے سوال کیا کہ کیسی ہے تمہاری آخرت، عاقبت میں کیا ہوا، جگہ کیسی ملی برزخ میں، فرماتے ہیں کہ اگر ان کی نماز نہ ہوتی، ان کی مدد اگر نہ ہوتی اس نماز وحشت کے ذریعے، تو تم ورنہ میری تو یہاں پر تباہی تباہی تھی. پھر کہتے ہیں کہ نام بھی لیا ان کا، یعنی ملا فتح علی خان سلطان آبادی کا، ملا فتح علی سلطان آبادی کی نماز، جس کی وجہ سے انہیں نجات ملی. تو نماز وحشت سے جو ہے، جو مومنین دوسرے مومنین کے لیے پڑھتے ہیں، اس سے جو ہے نجات ملتی ہے مومنین کو. حتی روایت میں یہ بھی ملتا ہے کہ اگر تشییع جنازہ میں اگر 40 مومنین شرکت کریں، یا 40 مومنین اگر دعا کریں کسی مومن کے لیے، تو یہاں پر خدا خود جو ہے حیا کرتا ہے کہ اس مرحوم کو، اس مردے کو جو ہے اس پر عذاب نازل کرے. ان شاء اللہ سلسلے کو ہم آگے بڑھائیں گے. سلامات. Returning to our topic, that is associates of Imam al-Asr ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, there are different ways to get closer to the Imam or get to the existence of Allah. Now, both the paths are present before us. First is known as jazba, and that is a fast track. The second one is known as suluk, which is a gradual, slow process. So a person, he can either get to his destination quickly, or he can get to his destination on a regular, slow pace. But that fast track that we have, you look into Quran, we've got both the tracks that have been mentioned. Quran, when it talks about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, says that سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى, that in the night he was carried away with a blink of an eye to his destination. But when it came to Prophet Musa, says that لَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِيقَاتِنَا, that Musa had that gradual process, he had to come himself to his destination. But Rasulullah was carried away. Now, how do these two work? Urafa, they say that this jazba, or that fast track, it's that lightning. For example, if you've got a dark place, a dark night, you cannot see anything, there is a flash, a lightning, for a few seconds, for a second, and then you see everything around you and you can find your way out. So in this dunya that we are living in, which is surrounded by all that darkness, all those indecencies, and we cannot find our way out, Allah gives a flashlight, lightens something before us, and if we were smart enough, we could take that path and get to our destination. That is the fast track. So we have to be smart to that if an opportunity does knock, we take that opportunity and get to our destination quick. Now, to give an example of this fast track, you could give an example of Hur, that he was given an opportunity, as that opportunity was given to many others in the 10 days of Ashura. But he was smart and he got to his destination quick. Others were dumb, they couldn't take that and they ruined themselves. So, these opportunities, they come about in everyone's life, but for example, yesterday it was mentioned, that opportunity that was given to Marhum Rajab Ali Khayyat was that a sin was placed before him, and if he had committed that sin, all that downpour of ma'arif which was given to him would not have been given to him. Because he refrained from that, he turned his face away from that, he was blessed with all those blessings that were given by Allah, that he becomes a tutor, an educator of thousands of those who are educated themselves, whence he was an illiterate person. So, a few things to be noted over here, and that is, never underestimate any person, never underestimate any good deed, never underestimate any sin, any bad deed. Because the pleasure of Allah might be hidden in any one of these three. Might be that person who you want to hurt, who you want to mock, who we want to disrespect, he might be a waliyullah. And the task, for example, a 2-rakat prayer, maybe Allah's pleasure is hidden in that, we don't know. And if we do that 2-rakat prayer, that bonus, that shoot up can be given to us. And the same thing is with the sin, that if a sin is refrained, or even a makruh, if it's refrained for the sake of Allah, for the sake of that makruh, the pleasure of Allah could be sought. Again, quoting from the same Shaykh Rajab Ali Khayyat, he says that I was once crossing the road in Tehran. And in those days, you had all these herds of cattle, camels, they also were on the roads. He says that it so happened that a makruh thought came to my mind. A makruh thought, like for example, drinking water while you are standing at night, that is makruh. Or overeating. Or for example, sleeping a lot. Or laughing a lot. Now all the, or placing something on bread, which is makruh. So that is not a sin, it's makruh. So he says a makruh thought, not a makruh action, came to his mind. And he says that it so happened that the camels that were passing, the last one which passed, he kicked me. There was a kick which came towards me. And had I not jumped away from that camel, it would have hurt me. I would have fractured my leg. He goes straight to the mosque. That what was this? Why was this penalty for? Why was I punished? Why did that kick come towards me? Now, these are smart people. And then he is informed, it's because of that makruh thought which came to your mind, Allah wants to punish him that way. That a person be that crystal clear, sterile, that a makruh thought also. Now, for those of high caliber, the tests are also severe. That he wants their mind to be clear, totally clear, that not even a makruh thought comes to his mind. And again says that whenever he recited ziyarat, it was as if he was in the presence of ma'asumeen. And once it so happens that he comes to a majlis, he's a bit hungry, and says to the host, is there a piece of bread? They bring him the bread was warm and fresh. He eats a bit more than usual. And that day when he recites his ziyarat, he doesn't see ma'asumeen. So every day he sees them as if he's in the presence of ma'asumeen reciting the ziyarat, but now he doesn't. And again, when he asks what was the reason for that, overeating of that bread, that was taken away. Now many a times we find that we do all this good. We are said that a person, if he does a worship for a certain amount of time, good and bad, that is doing all the good what Allah has said to do, wajib, refrains from everything which he has said to be haram, if you do it for a certain time, all these hijabs and barriers that are around us, they will be put away. But how come we worship for long and long times, for all these years, 50, 60, 40, whatever, but nothing happens? And the least, which is that we have to have that presence of mind in our prayers, that too is lacking. What is the reason for that? Says that we just keep on piling up all the good things and we are not aware that there is a hole in this bag where we are accumulating all of this stuff and that is being drained away. So that draining away, we have to see where it's draining from. There is not a lot to be done. There's not a lot to be refrained from, just a few things. But even that little thing which we pile, which we gather and get together, that also drains away. That is the reason why these hijabs, these blindfolds are around us and we don't see, we don't feel, we don't hear, and we don't enjoy while we are standing in worship. So all these are things that we have to look into ourselves, that find what is the reason for that. That why don't we enjoy a prayer? Why don't we enjoy recitation of Quran? Why don't we enjoy du'as, etc.? Among the names that our 12th Imam al-Asr, ajjalallahu ta'ala, farajahu al-sharif, has is Ghawthul Ummah. Muhaddis al-Nuri, in his book, he mentions 180 names for our 12th Imam. Ghawthul Ummah means the helper of the nation. He helps in every aspect to the nation. Now, regardless of whether or not he is someone who has faith in the Imam or not, he helps. Because he is a reflection of Allah. When Allah is Rahman and Rahim, he too is also Rahman and Rahim on a lower level, as he is a reflection. Rahman, that his share of mercy for all is there, for mu'mineen, a special share of mercy, like Allah, Rahman and Rahim. Or when we say to the Prophet that he is Rahmatun lil Alameen, mercy to the worlds, 12th Imam is also mercy to the worlds, because he is also in the same line and sitting in the same rank of Imama, which was given to him by the Prophet. So, Ghawthul Ummah. He helps the nations, helps everyone. If you see the performance or the seerah of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, it's amazing. When Amirul Mu'mineen is the ruler, is the Khalifa of Muslimin at that time, he is not that young Ali, he's an old man now. Old man. Services which he provided in those few years and even prior to that, no one can ever be a match to that. No one can think of how this Mawla, his attitude was. In those hot days of Kufa, he being the first person, people they used to come to Darul Khilafah, to the governor house or to the presidential palace, you could say as such, they used to come there to get their problems solved and eased. In hot days, what Amirul Mu'mineen used to do is that he, instead of staying in his office, he comes out and sits where the security sits, that is the entrance of his office, for example. Sits in that hot sun. Why? Says that people who are in need, who want to have their problems solved, they don't need to walk all the way from the security to my office. I'll sit there so that the problems they have are sorted and eased quicker. Ghawthul Ummah, that's someone who helps the nation. Such benevolent attitude which Amirul Mu'mineen had. And the same thing is with the Imam of time. That no matter who he is, no matter what his problems are, approach him sincerely, or even if you don't approach him sincerely, he knows and he gives, because they are all kareem, benevolent in every aspect. We have preparations to make, and there are people who prepare for the zuhur, That is the arrival of the Imam. As we have Ghaybat al-Sughra and Ghaybat al-Kubra, that is that minor occultation and the major occultation, which is the period which we are in now, until the arrival of the Imam alayhi salam, the same way there is a Zuhure Asghar and a Zuhure Akbar. Zuhure Asghar, it's that minor arrival of the Imam, and Zuhure Akbar, it's that arrival of the Imam himself. That is, before the arrival of the Imam, the name and fame of the Imam will spread everywhere in the world. There will not be any person who doesn't know who the Messiah is, who the Imam is. And this is something which you can witness for yourself, that today the name and calling, remembrance of Imam al-Asr is much more than last year, is much more than the past decade. Today, people all around the world, they say Ya Aba Saleh more. They call Ya Mahdi more. They call Imam much more than what they used to do. So the name and fame of Imam has spread quite a lot. Or almost everyone knows. And that is the reason why you find that you've got all these shayateen fighting so that he doesn't come, he doesn't arrive. And those great ulama, they say that we, alhamdulillah, we have entered that phase in which that zuhur asghar of the Imam has taken place. And that is the name, the fame of Imam, it's evident everywhere. Zuhur akbar, it's the arrival of the Imam, when inshallah he will come. Now, this zuhur asghar and zuhur akbar, there are personalities, there are people. For them, Imam, he is available even today, meaning that they have free access to the Imam. For them, that zuhur, it's already there. But when we talk about zuhur akbar, it means the presence of the Imam for the entire universe. But there are people who have broken all those barriers and they have arrived to a rank when they have free access to the Imam. So that is, again, regarding Zuhur Asghar and Zuhur Akbar, which we have said. As-salamu alaykum. In a hadith, our fifth Imam Baqir alayhi salatu was salam says that وَإِنْ أَصْبَحْتُمْ يَوْمًا لَا تَرَوْنَ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا فَاسْتَغِيثُ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ says that if you wake up, that is if you enter a day, on a day of yours, says that if you don't find the Imam, cry. Not cry, regular crying, says yell and cry that why, and call Allah and tell him that why is he absent. So that loud cry has to be there. That is our desperate need that we have to the Imam. Marhum Imam Quli Turk, a cobbler whosoever was acquainted with him, he got the fragrance of the Imam as his thoughts, his speech, his remembrance was the Imam. That whenever a topic was touched, a topic was uttered, he twisted it in a way that he brought it to the subject of the Imam. That is that immense love which he possesses to the Imam. His du'as, his qunut, his talk, whatever it is, we find that Imam exists in his. And again, Ayatullah Muhammad Sharif Razi, he says that whoever came to mend his shoes in his shop, he never took a lot from the people, a little bit, whatever a person could give. Or even if people, they couldn't pay for mending their shoes, he never took anything. And when people came for help from him, he paid more. And he says that many a times he used to see the amount that was being paid into his register. He had a little rug. He used to put all that money in. Many a times not much was being put inside that register, but what was paid out was much more. So that is, again, the barakat of being sincere in love for the Imam. Now, in the market of love that we have today, now we've got all these fake loves which pop up every now and then, And many a times you find that the term love, it's been used in a negative way. Now the love we have, we say that I am in love with such and that person so much. That love maximum, it is very lucky, it would last for 2 years or 3 years. You'll have all these tattoos on every part of the body, just showing that love for that person, but that would last only for 2 years if someone is really lucky. So that's not love in the true sense. Love in the true sense is that you admire someone and become a reflection of that person. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Quran says that if you truly love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, be obedient to me, and Allah also will love you in return. So, the more this love is severe, the more separation also becomes tough. If a person is too much in love with someone, separation is also tough. Many personalities we have say that, Imam, when are you going to come? If your arrival, now the same person, he says that, if Imam, your arrival is going to be too late, if I am not going to witness you when you come, make it as such that I die. Pray that I die. I can't live without you. And it so happens that Imam prays and says to him that next year, 15th of Ramadan, you will die. He, to the associates in his near circle, informs this good news that I am dying, I'm going to leave this world, and that I cannot live without my Mahbub, who is the Imam. Now the worst place in the hell, it's not the fire. The hell also, it has a few levels. The first level of the Jahannam, the hell, it's the Jahannam-e-A'mal. And in this Jahannam-e-A'mal, you've got forced hot air coming inside the Jahannam. And then you've got Jahannam-e-Sifat, which is the Jahannam of the... there, it's the forced air, it's generated from inside that Jahannam. Now, all these things, what they mean, we don't know. And again, the worst level and stage of Jahannam, it's known as Jahannam-e-Firaq. That is the Jahannam of separation. This is something which we find in Dua Kumail, where Mawla, he says that sabartu ala adabik, that if you were to punish me, I'll be patient in that azab, that punishment of yours. فَكَيْفَ أَصْبِرُ عَلَى فِرَاقِكْ. How can I be patient with that separation from you? I can't bear that pain. That pain of being away from you, it's tougher. And that is that worst punishment when Allah will give to some, that is, Allah, He will not look at them, He will not talk to them. That is the worst punishment. That is a loved one, he doesn't look at you, someone who is all merciful, he doesn't look at you, and he doesn't talk to you. That is, there is no way of mercy anyway, when there is no conversation, when there is no communication. Says that is the worst part of the hell. To some, that part of hell, that is the Jahannam-e-Firaq, will be given, and that is the worst destination. Amir al-Mu'mineen says that, فَكَيْفَ أَصْبِرُ عَنِ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ كَرَامَتِكَ. That if you were to punish me, okay, I'll accept that punishment. But what will I do? How can I be patient without you looking at me, without me looking at you? That is a disaster. So, Jahannam also. In another reports, Hassan bin Sabit and Usama bin Zayd were noble people. Hassan bin Sabit was present on the day of Ghadir. He also came, recited poetry for Amir al-Mu'mineen after Rasulullah. But when it came to the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen that he becomes an imam, he was not with the imam. So we have people who were like that, who were very close, but who turned and were not with them. So there are a few conditions to become an associate, a friend of the imam, that we have to feel the pain that imam is there, and we have to have that pain. And the third condition is that in performance, his aims should be our aims. Whatever Imam wants, his desires are, should be our desires. Or as we read in this dua that Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema, that O God, we desire that in his rule, that is the rule of the Imam, that tu'izzu biha al-Islam wa ahla, wherein you will honor and dignify Islam and Muslims, that we be with him. when you will defame kuffar and mushrikeen, we also defame them. That is, if his motto, if his desires are those, our desires also should be those. Whatever he wants, we also have to want that. Malik Ashtar, he loved Amirul Mu'mineen so much. Now, he was miles away from Amirul Mu'mineen. But what he did, what his performance was, exactly what Amirul Mu'mineen wanted from him. If Amirul Mu'mineen was in the place of Malik Ashtar, he did what Malik Ashtar was doing. So that is a reflection of Amirul Mu'mineen. Although miles away, he is a reflection of the Imam. Again, what we are told is that when Imam comes, يَمْلَأُ اللَّهُ الْأَرْضِ قِسْتًا وَعَدْلًا, that this earth, it will be filled with justice and equity. What does it mean? It will be justice everywhere. Now, we can't observe justice in a small family of 4, 5 members, 6 members. Once in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, a father was there with his 2 sons. He kissed one of the sons. Rasulullah said, why didn't you kiss the other one? Justice is that if you kiss this one, you have to kiss the other one as well. So all these delicate issues which we are never observed. And the term says that Imam, when he comes, he will fill the earth with justice. Now, these are small applicables of justice that were mentioned. He will fill justice everywhere, and that is during the time of the Imam. Again, our 5th Imam, he says that Abu Abdullah on the day of Ashura to his companion says that tomorrow will pass, but we will return in the end of time, in Akhiruz Zaman. All of them will return. And it is our aqeedah that there is raj'at, that is after the term of our 12th Imam, some of the a'imma, they will return. Who are going to return and rule? Some of them have been mentioned. For example, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, with his associates and companions, they will return. But many other, we don't know who is going to come and who is not going to come. So that shafa, that raj'at, again, it's an issue. Here, Abu Abdullah says that we will be there in the end of time. Now, many times when this term akhiruz zaman, that is the end of time, is mentioned, we think it's going to be a horrible time. It's going to be just devastation everywhere. But in reality, end of time, akhiruz zaman, it is a start of a benevolent time. It's a start of a good era. And that is the time of the 12th Imam, when everything will be just good and good. Again, there is a masjid, a mosque in Isfahan. It's called Masjid Hujjat al-Islam, or Marhum Hujjat al-Islam Sayyid Shafti. One of the great and very respected personalities in Isfahan. Now, just giving an example of that, how these personalities, they come and arrive to a point that when they become an associate and a friend of Imam. Says that a caravan from Isfahan was traveling to Mecca. And then it was a long trip. They had to travel to Iraq, and that was the route in those days. They went to all of the ziyarat and then to Mecca and then came back. To Sayyid al-Shafati, who is a respected and an honorable person, all members of the group, they come and give all their money to him to keep with him as an amana. Because there were no cards, there were no checks, there were all these means that we have today. Everything was given to him, and this caravan starts from Isfahan and they come to Najaf. There, when he wanted to go for the ziyarat of Amirul Mu'mineen, he says that, let me just check the trunk wherein I had put all this money which belonged to all the members of the group. And there he comes and sees that the trunk is broken and all that was in there, nothing is present. He is shaken, that my dignity is at stake, that people, they trusted me, they gave all that wealth, and nothing of that has remained. Now, beautiful people, they do beautiful tasks. The first thing which hits his head, it's go and say that to the Imam of your time. He comes to Masjid Sahla, and there, just shaken and shattered, crying, says, Imam, I want something from you. I want the solution of this mess. He meets a young lad and says that, Sayyid, what's wrong? He says that, you know better. Why do you ask me? He knew that it is the Imam. And then says that, Imam says that, calls Halu, Halu, Halu three times. Halu in those days was the definition or the name given to these people who carried loads. Kuli, jise kehte hain log. In the markets. So his task was that he, in the marketplace, carries the burden of people, delivers them to whatever the destination is. He calls that Halu three times. But now Halu has a different meaning in Farsi. Say, nowadays, Halu means dumb. He calls Halu three times, and that person comes there in just a few seconds. And when he sees this Halu, he says that, are you not that same person who work in Isfahan? He says, yes, same person. Now, how come these 1,500 miles or 2,000 miles, he traveled just in a few seconds, 2-3 seconds, and came to Najaf? He says that, why did you let the Imam call you three times? Why didn't you come to the Imam for the first time? He says that the first time Imam called me, I said, Labbaik. For the second and third call, I was on my way, and third, I'm here. And then Imam says to him that, help him out. Halu says to Sayyid that, you go back to Najaf, I'll meet you after a while. He comes back to Najaf with the sacks that he had lost. Says, is this what you had lost? Anything else? He said, no, that's it. He says that, now just tell me, how come you came to this rank that you are so close to the Imam? We never knew that. He says, leave that aside. And then he says that, I'll come and meet me on the 9th of Dhul Hajjah, the day of Arafah, and I'll show you the tent of the Imam in Arafat. Now, yesterday we mentioned that story that Imam performs the Hajj for that Maddah. This question might have come to your mind, that how come Imam is in Ghaibat for about 1100 years now? And it is said that every year he is in Hajj. And someone who wants to meet the Imam, the place is Hajj. That is one of those certain places where he is there. Although he is everywhere, but that is one of those spots where a person can benefit from him a lot more. Like the morning time of prayers, wherein there is a downpour of these barakat from Allah. Again, the meeting place, which is certain, it's Arafat. How come Imam is there every day, every year? Because he also, like us, that he is duty bound just for one Hajj. Not more than that is required from him from Allah. So all these other years that he's been performing Hajj, it's for those issues which were mentioned yesterday for other mu'mineen who have a shortfall in their performance, he is making up for them. So that is that mercy of that Imam that we have. Says that if you want to meet the Imam, place is Arafat. I'll show you and guide you. They meet, they come to Arafat, and then he was waiting just for that moment to meet the Imam. He comes and shows him the tent of the Imam, and then he says, let's go together. He says, no, I'm not permitted beyond this. My task is only till here. Beyond this, I can't. And then when they come back from Hajj to Isfahan, it was a lovely trip. He had lost something, but he gained much more than what he had lost. That was what he had lost was also found, and in addition to that, the ziyarat of Imam. And again, riwayat, they say that kamalul hajj liqa'ul imam, that the perfection of hajj, it's the ziyarat of the Imam.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
The same thing is all with all the other ahkam, that if we offer this prayer, the best of prayer, again, it's the same. Fast, again, the best of that is the same. In all of these issues, wilaya plays an important role throughout our life. In that hadith from our fifth Imam, he says that Bunya al-Islam ala khams, Islam has been based on 5 issues, on prayers, on zakat, on hajj, on khums, and then on wilaya. And Imam says, وَلَمْ يُنَادَ بِشَيْءٍ كَمَا نُودِيَ بِالْوِلَايَةِ. And none of these, that is fasts and prayers and khums and zakat, will be addressed as this concept of wilaya will be addressed. That is, everything we do in this world, it is connected and related to this wilaya, to this muhabbat, to accepting the custodianship of ma'asum in all walks of life. He says that we came back to Isfahan, and now because Sayyid Shafti is one of the great personalities of Isfahan and has come back from Hajj, people in large numbers, in swarms, they come to say Khair Maqdam and Hajj Mubarak to him. He says that I was in that mosque and one after the other, everyone is coming to say Tabrik to me, and I see this Halu also come to say Tabrik to me. And I say that this is not an ordinary person, so I have to give a little bit more respect, or the respect which I used to give, then it is changing to a different type. He stood up to give more respect to him. Halu comes and whispers in his ear, you are that same Sayyid and me that same Halu. There shouldn't be any more difference in our attitude as it used to be. That has to remain. And then he say they become friends. Frequent once in a while. And it so happens that a day he comes to Sayyid. Halu comes to Sayyid and says that I've got a task and I want your help. He's happy if I could be at his service. Says that 3 hours from now, that is, if it's 12 o'clock, at 3 o'clock, for example, I will die. And I want you to take the task of carrying all of my funeral services. That is, lead the prayers on me, bury me. And then he says, the spot where I will be buried is that spot. He says that to him. And then Sayyid, he says that, tell me, how come you arrived to this rank that you are so close to the Imam? What did you do? But he doesn't reply. The only thing he says that, dunya, this world is what you see, and this is the world, and after 3 hours after this, I will die. Then he never revealed what was the reason. But the bases or the basics that we have, that have been told to us, are only those wajibat and those muharramat to be observed. Or says that in every construction, the bases are the pillars, the walls that could hold the structure. Says over here, the bases and the structure, the pillars, are those wajibat. They have to be there. Many a times, or most of the times, we are mistaken. We just go after du'as and ziyarat and all these recitals and what not. We think that that is the true thing. That is not the true. The truth is those pillars, those walls, and those are the wajibat. That is what we are told. If that is firm, then everything else also can get in. But we go after chandeliers and lights and all these beautiful ornaments, disregarding the pillars and the walls. That is, so he says that after 3 hours, when I come and see that he has passed away, and he is leading he has to lead the funeral prayers, when everyone has gathered over there, the market is closed, all these laborers, they have come. He says, do you know what a gem we have lost? All these days we used to call him Halu, but in reality we are Halu. We are the dumb ones who never recognized who this great personality was there. So associating and becoming a friend of Aba Abdullah, of our 12th Imam, Imam al-Asr, is among those we have all gathered again to remember our 8th Imam, whose Shahadat is today. And again, with reference to the 8th Imam, the conspiracies which Ma'amun has, who is the Khalifa of time, he wants to defame Ma'asum in every way possible. Now, when he appoints him as the crown prince or as the successor to Ma'amun, he wasn't loyal in that. The aim was to defame Imam, because the fame which he has in Medina and people gathering around Ahlul Bayt, he brings him to Marv, to Khurasan, with an intention that if I make him the crown prince and the successor and bring him into the palace with all those riches and royalties, then automatically there will be a seclusion, a segregation between him and the normal public, in the general public. And with that intention, he makes him his successor. But the performance of Imam over here, again, it's amazing. What Imam does is, now, when they are coming to Marv, that is from Medina, heading towards Khurasan, on their way, there is a funeral and a body is being taken. Imam, he disembarks from his ride, comes down and says, the ashab, the companions who were with the Imam, they thought that like every funeral, he too is going to walk a few steps with that body and he will come back. But the attitude of Imam is different. He disembarks, he follows that funeral, comes by the grave, lays the person in the grave, kisses the person, comes out and buries him. Ashab, the companions, they say that, Imam, this is the first trip of yours coming to Marv, coming towards Khurasan. Then how come? We know that you haven't got any relatives over here, no friends, your first trip. Imam says, I knew him, I knew all his ancestors who were there. They asked, who was he? He says, a Shia of mine. For that great ihtiram which Imam gives to that person. So in the palace of Ma'mun la'natullah alayh, again the attitude of Imam, the performance of Imam is amazing. That he, whenever the food is laid, with all those royalties and being observed, the first thing he does is he separates the best part of the food, puts it aside. Not that the leftover, whatever is left on that table, is given away as charity. He puts away the best food aside for fuqara. And he doesn't sit himself on that table. All the workers, all the laborers in the palace, they are called at the table of the Imam. Now again, this is the seerah of Imam, what he does. And if someone was to say that Imam, he is living all that lavish lifestyle and in those riches and wealth, now these laborers, these people, the servants of the palace, when they see the attitude, they say, Imam, he is not like that. So Imam, with his performance, he proved that he is right, when he was right. From Medina, with that intention, he is brought to Marv. And when Imam, he is poisoned by Ma'mun, is killed, and when he is to be laid to rest, there is a state funeral observed by Ma'mun. That he wants to show that he is again in line with whatever the tactics of Imam were. So again, to deceive people, a state funeral is held and Imam is laid to rest in honor. But when we see Karbala, there is no state funeral. There is no funeral at all as such. For 3 days, the body of Abu Abdullah is left bare, uncovered, in that desert, in that heat of Karbala. And after 3 days, it's laid to rest. And again, when it is laid to rest, it's laid to rest without a head. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayya'lamu al-lazina zalamu ayya munqalabin yanqalibun. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمن وجب له حق علينا ولمن وصانا بالدعاء ولجميع أمة محمد وآل محمد. There are quite a few requests for dua for many who are ill, for all of them, and in particular for those who are absent from this majlis. May Allah grant them shafa. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. ماتم حسین.